Today's message is, God, I say thank you. And friends, we're here at the end of November, the Thanksgiving month in the United States, and it's the season for giving thanks to others and to God, and maybe that person who had a positive influence in your life. You know, on Thanksgiving Day, I suggested to you guys, you know, when I spoke last year, to write them a letter, give them a phone call, write them an email, and tell them how much you appreciate them in your life. Maybe it was a person in your childhood, a person in your adulthood, whatever it might be. It's good to live with an attitude of thanksgiving toward people who have really positively affected our lives. And ultimately, we're to be thankful to God for His many blessings upon our lives. And a lot of people think, you know what, on Thanksgiving Day, the fourth Thursday of every November, I'm going to give thanks to God about something. But friends, I encourage you to find one thing a day, a good thing a day in your life, and give God thanks for it, because that good thing ultimately has come from His hands. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we can tell God thank you with more than just words. You know, we can find one good thing a day and say, God, I thank you for the breath in my lungs. God, I thank you for my eyesight. God, I thank you for my ears. And God, I thank you for my legs and my arms. We can tell God with our words that we thank Him for His many blessings. But we can also express to God with more than just words that we are thankful to Him. And you know, God has given us the greatest gift in the universe. What is the greatest gift this world has from God? The gift of eternal life. You know, we were all bound for an eternity separated from God due to the sin nature passed down to us by Adam and Eve. We were all bound for an eternity, let me say it, separated from God. But 2,000 years ago, God gave His very best, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross to bridge the great divide between man and God by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's an awesome gift, the gift of eternal life. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have the gift of eternal life, so that when we leave this earth, we'll be with God forever. Isn't that good news? That's the greatest gift anybody could ever receive. You know, I can't imagine 5 minutes separated from God, let alone an eternity separate from God. I thank God for the gift of eternal life. Now, think about this. Hypothetical situation. Say that you desperately needed a kidney transplant. Desperately needed a kidney transplant, and somebody you knew, a friend, was a good match, or somebody else out there was a good match for you, and they donated their kidney to you, and it saved your life. How would you feel towards that person who donated that organ to help save you? Maybe two of your kidneys were bad, and you needed one. And this person donated one of theirs. How would you feel?
Grateful.
Very grateful, right? For helping save your life. And maybe your way of saying thanks to that person is, you know what? Whatever that person's name is, whoever that person might be in this hypothetical situation, you know what? If you ever have a need in your life and I've got the means to help you, just let me help you. I will help you. That's my way of saying thank you in return for donating an organ to help save my life. You see what I'm saying? We can say thank you with more than just words. We can say thank you with our action and actions. And what I said just a minute ago, God, 2,000 years ago, gave us His very best, right? He gave us Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for our sins so that we would not have to die in hell. Is that making sense? We have the gift of eternal life. And you know what? We can say, God, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. We can express it in words, but we can also express it with actions. We can express our thanks to God for the gift of eternal life with our actions, reaching those so close to the heart of God. Who are the ones so close to the heart of God?
Believers.
Man.
People, those in need. One of the ways that we can tell God thank you for the gift of eternal life, one of the ways that we can tell God thank you for Jesus Christ, is by reaching out to others in need with action, with God's love. In action, reaching out and helping those with God's love. That's a way of telling God, God, I thank you for your many blessings upon my life. God, ultimately, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. And God, because I'm so thankful to you for eternal life and for saving my soul from sin's grip, for saving my soul from hell. Hell, the way I'm going to say thank you to you, God, is by reaching out to somebody else in greater need than myself. That's saying thank you with your actions. All right, let's turn to 1 Kings 17, verses 7 through 24. How Elijah said thanks. 1 Kings 17, 7 through 24. It says, sometime later, the brook had dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah, the woman, and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. All right, so this woman reached out to Elijah, right? This woman did what for Elijah? What did she do? She reached out to Elijah. What did she do? She made him what? She made him bread and she fed him, right? And it says, the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. And ultimately, through the widow woman, God was providing for Elijah. God ultimately was providing food for Elijah through the widow woman. And Elijah had his way of saying thanks to God for this provision, as we'll read in the next verses. How did Elijah say thanks to God in action for this provision of food by God through the widow woman? How did Elijah say thanks? Let's read on. Verse 17 of 1 Kings 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is true. So God provided for Elijah, right? Through the widow woman, a meal. Is that right? God provided through Elijah a meal and more meals. What was Elijah's way of saying thank you to God for that provision? He didn't say it with words. He said it with action. He did what? He reached out to help this widow woman in need whose son had died. Stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, oh Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. And the boy came back to life. So Elijah said thank you to God for God's provision in his life by reaching out to this widow woman's dead son, and that son was resurrected from the dead. Is that making sense? And friend, we can do the same. We're men like Elijah. God is no respecter of persons. If God has done something wonderful in your life and you know that it was a gift of God, and every good thing, let me say, it comes from God. And you know, somebody reached out to you with the love of God like the widow woman to Elijah, then guess what? Pass the blessing on. Say thanks to God by reaching out to somebody in greater need than yourself. That's saying thanks to God, not only with words, but with your actions. You see? Being the mouth of Jesus, the mouth and the hands of Jesus. Not just speaking, but also doing something to say thanks to God. The gospel in action is what I'm talking about today. We can speak the gospel and it's good. I preach the gospel. You can talk the gospel. You can speak it one-on-one from a pulpit. But you can also live the gospel in action. There's a saying out there that actions speak louder than
words.
You know, what you do speaks so loudly, sometimes people can't hear what you say. Actions speak really, really loud. Now, Matthew 25, what does Jesus say? Matthew 25. Jesus says this about the sheep on his right. Matthew 25. Verse 31-40. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. When we reach out to somebody in need, who are we reaching out to ultimately?
Jesus.
When you reach out to somebody in greater need than yourself, you're reaching out to Jesus himself. That person who's sleeping under a bridge tonight is Jesus in disguise. That person's sleeping under a bridge, but you have a shelter. That person who's on the street corner hasn't eaten for 2 days, that person is Jesus in disguise. You've got meals here at the mission. Is that making sense? That person somewhere here in downtown Tulsa who hasn't talked to another human being for 2 weeks is Jesus in disguise. You've got people around here at the mission, right? That you can talk with and spend time with. That person lonely out there is Jesus in disguise. That older person, that woman, or that man that has a flat tire out there stranded on a highway here in Tulsa is Jesus in disguise. Will you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to those people? When you touch that person with the love of God, you're touching Jesus himself. When you touch that person with the love of God, you are touching the very heart of God. Is that making sense today? When you reach out beyond yourself to minister to somebody, you're reaching out to Jesus. That's your way of saying to God, I thank you, God. You've given me the greatest gift in the universe. God, you've given me eternal life. God, I thank you for the shelter. You've given me a place to sleep. You've given me meals here at the shelter. And God, my way of saying thank you to you is by reaching out beyond myself to somebody else. And you might be thinking today, well, you know what, Jonathan? You know, I'm in such great need myself. Look at me. I never have enough money. I don't have a car. I don't have a bike. You know, I don't have this. I'm, you know, so forth and so on. I'm in such great need myself. How can I reach out beyond me? Friend, and I'm telling you, with that kind of mindset, that you're in such great need yourself, guess what? You're going to remain in that prison that you're making with your own minds. Remember this, you may be in need, but there is somebody out there in greater need than you. You may be in need, but there is somebody out there in greater need than yourself. A person out there that probably has only one pair of jeans, one shirt, one sweatshirt, one jacket, and maybe you've got two or three pairs of jeans, two jackets, two shirts, whatever it might be. You know, remember that there is always somebody out there that is needier and greater need than yourself. And you can do something to step out of yourself and touch that person with the love of God. Is that making sense today? So, you might be asking today, how do I reach out as a way of saying thanks to God? If you find somebody out there that is lonely, spend some time with that person. Spend an hour, talk to that person. You know, there's somebody out there who hasn't eaten for a few days, and you've got $10 or $20 to your name. Buy that person a meal at the Quick Trip. Making sense? There's somebody out there maybe who's depressed and is about to take their life. How could you reach out to that person?
Conversation.
Speak encouraging words into that man, into that woman's life. You know, maybe there's somebody out there that hasn't been touched for months. No pat on the back, no hug, nothing. How could you reach out to that person? Give them some Christ-like touch, man. Give them a pat on the back. Say, God loves you and I believe in you. That person hasn't been touched in a long time, hasn't had affection. Hug them and say, there's a God out there and He loves you so very much. These are small ways that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ in action, stepping out beyond yourself. Now, let me read you a story about Mr. Roth. Some of you may feel like you're in this man's position today. Mr. Roth, listen to this. Comes from the Speaker's Quote Book. Mark Tidd of Webster, New York, describes an experience from his college days. An old man showed up at the back door of the house we were renting. Opening the door a few cautious inches, we saw his eyes were glassy and his furrowed face glistened with silver stubble. He clutched a wicker basket holding a few unappealing vegetables. He bid us good morning and offered his produce for sale. We were uneasy enough that we made a quick purchase to alleviate both our pity and our fear. To our chagrin, he returned the next week introducing himself as Mr. Roth, the man who lived in the shack down the road. As our fear subsided, we got close enough to realize it wasn't alcohol but cataracts that marbleized his eyes. On subsequent visits, he would shuffle in wearing two mismatched right shoes and pull out a harmonica. With glazed eyes set on future glory, he'd puff out old gospel tunes between conversations about vegetables and religion. On one visit, he exclaimed, "The Lord is so good. I came out of my shack this morning and found a bag full of shoes and clothing on my porch." We'd agree that Mr. Roth was a guy in need, right? "That's wonderful, Mr. Roth," we said. "We're so happy for you. You know what's even more wonderful?" he asked. "Just yesterday I met some people who could use them." What's the implication here? That he gave away the shoes and the clothing that were found on his porch. This man lived in a shack. But there was somebody out there. He realized there were people out there needier than himself that had no shoes, that had no adequate clothing. He basically settled it on the inside. "I'm going to reach out beyond myself and give away the shoes and the clothing." Isn't that good? And some of you may feel like Roth today, like you're needy. You know, you don't have a really good place to live, a place you can call your own home, or transportation, or whatever it might be. Friends, there's somebody out there needier than you. Remember that. And reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. Reach out to them with action. You know, they're going to see, man, there's something different about this person. They're not just speaking words into my life, gospel words into my life. They're doing something good. I can sense that there's something different about him. He changed my flat tire. He gave me food when I was in need. He spoke encouraging words into my life. And they'll see that there's something different about you. And they'll say, "What do you have that I don't have?" And you'll tell them, "The thing I have that you don't have is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I've got relationship with Him. And when you reach out in action to show the love of God to somebody in greater need than you, they'll see that there's something different about you. They'll want to hear about what you have that they don't have. And that's an open channel for sharing the gospel. Friends, we all have the responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not for just the preacher who gets up on the stage and preaches it. We're all responsible as believers in Jesus Christ to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not necessarily with words, but in action. Is that making sense? Two things we'll take into eternity one day. Two things. Our relationship with Christ and those we helped lead into relationship with Christ. Should I say it again? Two things you'll take into eternity with you one day. Your relationship with Jesus Christ and others you helped lead into relationship with Jesus. Amen. The only two things. And how can you help lead somebody into relationship with Christ? Sure. How could you do it? By living the gospel in action. By your actions, reaching out to somebody in greater need than you as your way of saying thank you to God for the gift of eternal life. Is that good? We can say thanks to God in words, but we can also say thanks to God with our actions by reaching out. Is that making sense? And I hope this is a message that didn't go in one ear and out the other today. I hope it's something that you really start applying today and for the rest of your life. You know, as you get into life and life goes on and things happen and you meet people here at the shelter and in downtown Tulsa that rub you the wrong way, you may not think this way. But remember, try to remember today that when you touch somebody in need, you're touching somebody close to the heart of God. Some of you may have heard this story. Back in 2006, last quarter, I was going through some severe depression in my life and concerning certain things that happened in my life. And I just thought that God didn't love me, and I was just going through some really, really tough times. And there was this lady, an acquaintance that I knew, that we were sitting at a friend's dinner table one evening, and she said to me, "Jonathan, God just wanted me to let you know that Jesus loves you." And friends, I was in a cave of depression. And just those few encouraging words, "Jesus loves you," it just uplifted my spirit and pulled me out of the cave of depression. How many people here can say to somebody else, "Jesus loves you"? How many of us? I think all of us have the ability to say that, right? Sir, ma'am, Jesus loves you. God loves you, and I believe in you. You could be saving a person's life from suicide with those encouraging words, reaching out beyond yourself. That making sense? You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're to receive, we're to take into our lives. You know, we're to go to Bible studies and to church services, and we're to receive from the Word of God, right? We're to get into the Word of God and read it and receive from God's Word. But at the same time as receiving and taking in, we're to be doing what? We're to be simultaneously giving out. Does that make sense? A river receives and a river gives out. It is a living body of water. If we're going to be alive and well in our Christian walk, we've got to be taken in from God's Word. We've got to be studying God's Word. We need to be spiritually feeding ourselves from the Word. But at the same time, we need to be giving out some of the good things that God has given to us. We need to pass the blessing on. Say it with me. I need to pass the blessings on. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's about giving and receiving. Receiving and giving. That make sense today?